Say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. And my heart is perceiving. You're truly on my case tonight. I give you praise right now. That there's a Heavenly Father waiting for me to humble myself again. So that I can become everything He's planned for me. Heavenly Father, I confess I have had wrong attitudes and perceptions about myself. I have believed things about myself in absolute contradiction to what your word says about me. God, I have foolishly held on to those things. I thought I was right, but I was wrong. Lord, please forgive me for my wrong attitude and my wrong perception. Please forgive me, Lord, especially for thinking I was okay. That I was right in my thinking and justified in my attitude. Because I was not. God, Heavenly Father, I pray now that you will take away every faulty perception, every wrong attitude, every wrong conclusion I have ever had about myself, about who I am, and what I can do, and of what value I am. Lord, how I see myself, how I see others, how I think others see me. God, just take that whole mess right out of my mind. Please, cleanse me from all that defiles my thinking by washing of the water of the Word. Holy Father, I pray that you take away from me every perception which is defiled, incorrect, faulty, out of date, and sinful. Replace it in my mind with how you see me. Lord, let your word break forth in truth within me now. As it changes my mind, you will change my life. I pray, Father, that you apply the word strongly to me, that you not release the pressure of this word upon me until it has done its work. Father, especially help me to get my eyes off of myself. Help me to begin to discover your purpose for my life. It is not only to receive, but much more to give. Father God, I do pray for opportunities. I pray for opportunities to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. I pray for opportunities, Lord God, to proclaim the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray for opportunities to serve others in love,
serve others in love.
I pray, Father God,
that you create in me
a clean heart.
And renew in me
a right spirit,
so that I might rightly perceive
that I am here to serve,
not to be served.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you. My sister called me today and shared with me about this little book that I gave her a long time ago. What she doesn't know, what she does not know, is I had it out yesterday. And I said, Holy Spirit, you're speaking. And when he speaks, you know, we are to obey. So I'm going to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be using the wonderful Passion Translation because I pray that it will go deeper than it's ever gone before. As a prisoner of the Lord, that's starting at verse 1, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to you, your high rank, given to you in your divine calling, with tender humility and quiet patience. Always demonstrate quietness, gentleness, and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who may be trying or try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bond of peace. If you'll notice, all these are requirements to keep the harmony. Being one body and one spirit as you were, all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. The glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we. For we share in one faith, one baptism, one Father, and he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. And he has generously given each one of us supernatural grace according to the size of the gift of Christ. That is why he says he ascended into the heavenly heights, taking his many captured ones with him. I like the word captured because it implies that it's his doing and it is intense. And gifts were given to men. He ascended means that he returned to heaven after he had first descended from the heights of heaven, even to the lower regions, namely the earth. The same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. Again, there's a need in order to begin the restoration and fulfillment of all things. His ascension was the starting point of the restoration. It's been 2,000 years. There's been progress. How much? I don't think we can measure that. What we can do is recognize the starting point. And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, some with grace to be evangelists. Notice each time it's got to be grace. It's not a work of choice. It's not me advertising I'm going to be the next apostle. Hear me? And some with grace to be pastors. And some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. That's your purpose. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man, with the full dimension of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. There's a mouthful there. If you rehearse that area several times, I think you'll understand what maturity really, really is all about. And then our immaturity will end. How awesome is that? And we will not be easily shaken by trouble. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Nor led astray by novel teachings and by false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth. All our directions and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, the anointed head of His body, the church. For His body has been formed in His image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. You may be separated during your work hours, during your sleep hours, and so on and so forth. But you're never divided. You're always going to be one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. So the gifts that are in you is for the benefit of all. So you see, there's a gift and a calling in us that has called us and brought us together for His purpose. And that includes you, Ron. Even if you're hiding up in Canada, we'll forgive you for that. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. We're made perfect in love. And it starts with loving each other and loving ourselves. If you don't love yourself like God loves you, don't think you're going to give any away, because you ain't got any in you. It's like trying to feed a baby with an empty bottle. It doesn't work. Our new life in Christ, 17. So with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say you should not live like unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Yeah. The extra word there is opinions. Their corrupt logic has been clouded. Notice again, it's logic. Okay? Reasonings, logic, all connected. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. They're blinded. Understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsessions. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard His truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And He has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man. I like that word. Ancient man. That was translated from the Aramaic. And I thought that was pretty, pretty cool. Again, 22, and He has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusion. Strong delusion is so prevalent today. And when you try to give truth to someone and they have a disability to take the truth in, don't argue. Respect their decision and then ask the Holy Spirit for revelation. Arguing will get you what?
Nowhere.
Love and loving them the way they are will allow Holy Spirit to send His angels to do the work that only He can do. Now, 23, it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him. For God has recreated you all over again in His perfect righteousness. Say that with me. God has recreated me.
God has recreated me.
All over again. In His perfect righteousness. And I know. I now belong. To Him. In the realm of true holiness. Hallelujah. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying. So that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fueled for revenge. Not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you will have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. And the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. I like this word because some people believe that when you bow your knee to Jesus, you're completed. You're a full adult in Christ. But in reality, you're not. You're just opening a door to a brand new adventure. And some of it is going to be difficult. That's why you need to pray for one another. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. You know, when you do things that are blessed, and you open yourself to divine appointments, God will use you in the most unlikely places. Last Wednesday, I was to get a cardiogram that is done with an ultrasound. And so I had made an appointment, and I asked if it could be done in Palmer, which was great, because I didn't have to drive to the other end of the city. And I had asked the Holy Spirit to keep my eyes open and keep my ears open to see what was going to happen. Well, when I had it done in the city a year ago, it was quite painful because I had an instructor, a lady that was very pushy. And I mean, I thought she was going to break my rib cage open so that she could get the pictures she wanted. Okay? This lady, named Christine, which is kind of cool, was super sweet. And she had to push my Star of David to the side. So she said, oh. And so that opened the door. And she lives in Belchertown, which is kind of cool. And she belongs to, I believe it's called St. Francis, the church in Belchertown. And shared with me all kinds of things that she had worked in the ER for many years. And we talked about the miracles in our lives. And I told her about the doctor who did the repair work a year ago and how I was grateful. And I was grateful for her and her talents, and off this went. Now, it takes an hour. So we had lots to say and lots to share. So we talked about miracles, and she says, well, I had one great miracle that I literally watched. So I said, well, I'm only going to tell you that I've had many, but one that is very outstanding was my little girl that was born, and it was her birthday this past week, and she's 9, and I said the Lord had given me a word a year before to the day that I was going to have a new little girl in my family. But the enemy, and of course she knew exactly what was described when I gave her the ultrasounds and the focus of the ultrasound, and while Faith was still in the womb, the lady who was taking the ultrasound said, what's her name? And so my grandson said, her name is Faith. And when her father said Faith, the baby in the womb put her hands together and the woman took the picture. And we have that picture. Okay? Her picture of her two little hands like this inside the womb, and you can see it as clear as day. And she came out perfect. But the abortion experts wanted her to be aborted from the time that she was very, very young. So obviously that raised the level of faith. And she shared with me a miracle that she watched. And she says, well, it involves children. And a lady who had a car accident quite a few years ago. She didn't say the number. And she had two little girls or two children. And it was a few days before Christmas. And when this lady was brought into the ER, she was brain dead. The doctor said, it's hopeless. There's nothing we can do. She is literally brain dead. There's nothing. There's not a vibration. There is zero, zero, zero. But we don't want the children to lose their mother before Christmas. It's too hard. So we'll hook her up to all the machinery and have the machinery keep her body functioning. Okay? So they decided to do that. Now, I don't know the number of days. She didn't go into details. All she said is, now it's the day after Christmas or 2 days after Christmas and she's on duty. And as she's on duty, she notices that that woman who's supposed to be dead, her leg moved. So she got all excited. So she says, well, I've got to report this because, you know, this is not normal. So she went to the
doctor, I guess, that was in charge, and reported it. Oh, he said, you're a crazy woman. You know, you're having hallucinations. And so she says, well, I kind of put my tail between my legs and walked back, and sure enough, it happened again. But this time, another nurse saw it, as now they got two. So they went back, and they said, we can't take that, because they were told, you know, we got to take the machinery off. We got to, you know, eliminate this problem. We're keeping a dead body functioning with machines. So they talked to her, and the doctor finally says, okay, we'll keep the machinery on at least 24 more hours, because two of you saw the leg move. So they said, we talked to her, we called her by name, we asked her to move her eyes, we asked her to do this, and she says, nothing was working except she moved a hand. Just a little tiny bit, her hand moved. So she says, that was super excited. Now she says, we thought, well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So I guess it was the next day, her eyes opened. Well, when her eyes opened, the doctor finally paid attention, because that's what he's looking for. He wants to see in her eyes. He wants to see if there's activity and blah, blah, blah. Well, sure enough, within 3 or 4 days, she was released. She was perfectly okay, except she had a limp in her leg and a little other problem in her arm. Fast forward 2 or 3, 4 months, whatever the number is, I don't remember. But the lady walks into the ER to say thank you to the people that kept her on the machines. She says, and, you know, she said, me, nosy. I said, we want to talk to you. And so they asked her, could you hear us when we were yelling at you? Of course, she says, and I was so mad. I was so angry, and that's what I kept kicking. I kept kicking. Don't shut this off. Don't shut this off. I'm not dead. And she says, couldn't you hear me screaming? So the nurse says, no, there wasn't a sound coming out of you. Well, she says, I was so angry because you were going to shut things off and I was not going to be able to make it. God performed a miracle, and the two little girls have their mama. And God showed this woman, death is not the end. And the magnitude of the excitement of the ER, knowing that, yes, you're working for life, you're pushing for life. So after all that, she finished up, took some more pictures. I said, Christine, is it time to pray? She says, you're absolutely right. So I gave her a little card. We joined hands and we prayed. And to the God of God, we give all the glory. So I lift up Christine. I thank you for what she's doing and who she is in Christ Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit continue to magnify himself through her and bless many, many in Jesus' name.